But in Proverbs chapter 21, I guess a thought really is on my heart tonight. It's called deliverance from unfulfilled desire. Deliverance from unfulfilled desire. And in Proverbs 21, and just read verse 25 and verse 26 and move a few other places. But the Word of God says here that the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So we see basically a slothful person, and God's not against us having desire. In fact, Psalm 37:5 said, delight thyself also in the Lord, he'll give thee the desire of thine heart. But we see a certain individual that his desire is actually what brings him to the point of death. It kills him, the Bible says. And we can be in this same type of category. You know, we can be overwhelmed or actually discouraged by desires that we have, things we like to do, things we like to acquire, or just anything. And God doesn't want our desire to be that which kills us. Our desire should be something that motivates us to go forward for Christ, motivates and excites us for doing those things that God would have us to do. But we see there's a person here that God warns us against, and he does not want us to be like. And hopefully see just a couple of things tonight that help us not to be killed by our own desire. Amen. So Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the precious saints, and I thank you for the precious prayer time we've already had. And I'm thankful that you're here already. Thank you for being in our midst from start to finish. Bless this study in Jesus' name. Amen. My definition of desire is an emotion or an excitement of the mind directed to getting or possessing something. And we all know that, but that emotion is something that drives us, pulls us. It can be something that's, we want something that gives us pleasure. It can be something sensual, something intellectual or spiritual. Now, and the desire is a wish to possess some gratification or source of happiness which is supposed to be obtainable. And this is good about desire, because the thought here, it is a wish to possess some gratification. Now, wish is different than hope. We wish for things, and see, there's already just the definition of desire itself, when it's not tempered by a spiritual guideline, it can be something that we just think, man, never can happen. Many times when we pray, the reason our prayer lives are not powerful because we wish for things when we pray. We're not really asking in prayer, believing. And so we have a desire sometimes for things that be accomplished in prayer, but we really have no legitimate hope, because many times our prayer, not that they're against God's will, but we don't have the fellowship with God in as such where we know, or the biblical foundation to know that, wait, this is the will of God. What we're asking in prayer, believing, we shall receive. I believe that God will give me this. Desire is also defined by being love or affection, give me an appetite or lust. Now, number one, in the notes, these very simple thoughts are the symptoms of unfulfilled desire. The symptoms of unfulfilled desire. Well, it says in verse 25, basically kills him. The slothful, his desire is never fulfilled, so it kills him. And when something is put to kill means to deprive of life. I was thinking about how simple definition just kind of enhanced things sometimes. You know, how many people really don't enjoy life at all because of a desire or an unfulfilled desire. And it deprives them of joy just by desiring to have something. Kill, the word kill also means to calm. How many Christians once had a zeal and a fire for God, but all of a sudden it calms down? It also, the word kill also means to still. To bring to a point of this being sedentary. Of course, you might write down the verse, you're probably familiar with John 6 and verse 24 and 20, verse 20 and 29, where it talks about the labor that God requires, because the person that has these unfulfilled desires is the person that's called slothful. And of course, the slothful person is an inactive person, a lazy person, a person that does not do work. And the work of God is to believe on him when we have sinned. Our work as a child of God is to believe on Christ. And guess what? When we do not believe on Christ, we are deprived of life. Because he came not to just give us life, but to give us life more abundantly. we actually are, our zeal for God is actually calmed down when we do not believe on Christ, when we're not believing on Him who has sinned. We can actually get to a place where our Christian life comes to a standstill, where we're not believing on Christ, and that is the work of God. So our number one symptom is the very life that we have promised to us through Christ has been brought to an end. It is killed. It is placed aside. It is also said, for his hands refuses to labor. Well, I mean, that's the symptoms are very simple. So God doesn't want us to be like that. We're never really to be still because we'd be always abounding in the work of the Lord. But actually, if you're not abounding in the work of the Lord, then you probably have some unfulfilled desires. And those desires are either for something, there are many people with godly intentions that want to do the will of God. But you know, at some point you have to believe what God, you have to trust God at some point to be able to do the will of God. And when you don't believe, you're not doing the work. And when you don't do the work, you don't get the benefit from the work. Number two, the sin that causes unfulfilled desire. The sin that causes unfulfilled desire. Very simply, first sin is rebellion. It says here in the verse here, for his hands refuse to labor. You know, all of my struggles in my Christian life is not over anything, not over, how should I say, unclear commands from God. It's not like I've never struggled, any struggle I have is not because God told me to do something and I didn't quite understand what he meant by that, because I'm not really accountable for that. But my struggles are the commands, the instruction that God has given me, that my mind just, and my heart and my flesh just kind of pushes God away. The word refuse means to deny a request or a demand or an invitation. And so the Bible says the slothful person, his hands refuse to labor. You ever been discouraged and someone give you a Bible verse and you refuse to believe on that verse? You ever have a problem or struggle and you see the answer right there in the Word of God and you refuse to believe on that? Again, that's the work of God in the ascent. The Bible says, you ever stress over something and then you hear it preached or quoted to you, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and you don't pray over that, and guess what? You have that unfulfilled desire for peace. You have the unfulfilled desire for rest, but you've refused to stop being careful. You've refused to pray, and therefore you still rest that unfulfilled desire, and your day, that could be a day of blessing, could be a day of opportunity, could be a day of joy, is killed. Your very life is taken from you. You're deprived of life. You're calm. You're instead of advancing forward for the cause of Christ, it's all been calmed down because now you are fearful and timid, whatever other emotions accompany that particular refusing to embrace. Hey, are you giving over to the fear? The Bible says, he hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a little bit of a sound mind. So do you accept that as the work of God, believing on Christ and immersing yourself, or do you refuse God's request? The Bible says, let anything have breath, pray. Let anything have breath, praise the Lord. Do you praise the Lord often? The Bible said, in everything give thanks, you know. What about obeying that desire? Do you refuse to labor and praising and living a life of thanksgiving unto God? And when you're not doing the work of God, then you enter into the life of a slothful person. And you are inactive. And guess what happened? You have unfulfilled desires. Because there are things that you want. Who wants to have a miserable day tomorrow? Raise your hand. Who wants to have a miserable day tomorrow? But guess what happens? When your day starts going miserable, you have a desire for it to go better, don't you? And guess what happens? If you don't do the work of God, then that desire is not fulfilled. Hey, giving the thanks, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Just think of the list of your own life, things that God speaks on a regular basis, you know. And all of a sudden, you have these desires, and guess what happens? And this is what happens when you don't, okay, let's take the Thanksgiving. You don't thank the Lord, you don't pray, You don't meditate on the scriptures. And so what used to be a fellowship time with God, a day spent with God, is a day that gets calmer. Your relationship with God gets less and less exciting, less and less joyful. And sometimes you even long to have it back, but at some point you have to do the work. You have to believe and take the first step of believing on God and following God and trusting Him. And that rebellion causes you to have a day that's not strong, and you have all these desires for things. It's not wrong to want to have a good day. It's not wrong to have a godly day. But that very desire can be that which discourages you, because in your mind and it's settling that which you want, but then you don't do the labor, then you don't get it. Hey, faith without what is dead? Works, amen. Okay, second sin that causes unfulfilled desires, covetousness. It says right here in the verse here, verse 26, he coveted greedily all the day long. Just the covetousness, wanting. That's a sin that comes, that really feeds our unfulfilled desire. There's, like I said before, I think it's Thomas Watson said it when he wrote on covetousness, part of it wrote on contentment, which is contrary to covetousness. Contentment is not getting what you want, but contentment is wanting what you have. When you want what you have, one of the things we really covet that we don't really think about, that we're discontent with, is God's answers for our life. Let's just take what I just said, okay, and everything give thanks. Okay, you're going through a situation. God says, in everything give thanks. Well, that's not the answer you're looking for. That's not the answer I'm looking for. And so you want a better way out. And so you don't want what God's idea. Hey, the Bible says be careful for nothing. I mean, sometimes I just like to think about a situation, and I like to have a little time to whine a little bit. Now, I don't whine a whole lot, but occasionally, sometimes I just want to complain a little bit. You don't have to raise your hand, but sometimes we just get that way. We know it's not the right thing to do, but it's still what our nature says, and God has right there to let it go, to deliver us, but we just don't want to let it go that easy. I like what it says in the Bible when it talks about when you're praying. It said when you stand praying, it says forgive. Period. So, and that's not exactly, and God, you can be so liberated from anything, but Lord, is there a different way I can do that? I'm really content with that. And so we covet a different way. Are you sure, Lord? Is there not a way that I can be a faithful, vibrant Christian without losing my life? Lord, is there some way I can I not have a different way? And we covet a different way of doing this, Is there a way that I can be a vibrant, spirit-filled witness and not have to experience rejection? And not have to experience being despised and being a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And honestly, think about it. If you are a faithful witness, you cannot be a faithful witness without experiencing some sorrow. Because the reality is people reject Christ. And sometimes we don't want to witness because we don't want to face the reality that the people that are in our path that we like and we care about, that they actually literally are headed for hell. I mean, it's a sorrowful thing when you think about that. But it's a hopeful thing, understanding that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God has given me that which can change the course of their life forever. So even though there's sorrow, there's also hope in the midst of that sorrow. But when we don't labor, and we just covet a different way of doing things. Now, God would have us, taking in the secular context as well. I think about this guy in front of Shoppers here all day long. If you ever go by Shoppers, he's over in the evening. Spare change? Spare change? You go tonight, he'll be there. Spare change, in front of where the Shoppers are. My directions are bad, but he's there all the time. And he covets greedily all the day long, I talked to a lady. I went for a walk today when I was praying. A lady came, can I have some change? I just need some change. I want to get together and buy a bottle of wine. And she has one bottle of wine sticking out of her coat right here. I said, but you already got one right there. She goes, oh, you saw that. I said, I sure did. And so I chatted with a little bit and walked on, you know, but just coveting, greedily, all day long, not working, not laboring, always want more. Had one bottle of wine, and actually, it was full for the most part. It was full. I don't have to be in great go into detail, but not enough. Coveting, greedily, just not laboring, you know, and people in his life have their mind set on riches. In fact, I was talking to some of the boys in my neighborhood today. They were talking about how their desires have changed a little bit since they're working jobs now. Some things that they used to naturally expect their dad to do and just to buy them, they don't even want them as much because of laboring and understanding a little bit what it costs to get those things. And even the labor changes the desire because you think, man, you know what? You know how it takes you to make that? You know, I might not want to buy that because it just goes away that fast. And when we labor for God, when we really believe on Christ, then the desires are fulfilled. We're looking for the right thing because we're laboring. Number one, the focus is on Christ anyway, so that's the object. Last thing, number three, the solution to unfulfilled desire. It says here in verse 26, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So solution one is just to give. Just be a giver. That's what God made us to be, you know. And as we give ourselves, we give our life and we give our labor. If you give your life, you don't have to really make a list. Everything else comes in that, you know. It just takes care of itself. And second part of the solution is that we give without sparing. That means we give without holding back, you know. And because that's what it says the righteous do. Because the opposite of the slothful, if I look at the passage here, because he gives us the contrast here, the opposite of the covetous is to be a giver. And, of course, to be a giver is to be like God, because for God so loved the world that he gave. And so we should want to be like God, because that's the answer to everything. Now, in Luke chapter 6, we see a verse here that reminds us about giving. In Luke chapter 6, again, we're talking about our life, we're talking about labor, because the slothful man refuses to labor. So the slothful Christian refuses to believe on him whom he has sent. Rejecting truths that can help us and strengthen us. And in Luke chapter 6, notice the Bible says in verse 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running, and pressed down and shaken together, and run it over, so men give unto your bosom. Now, based on the verse we read in Proverbs, what question does the righteous man not ask about this verse? That's kind of a strange way to ask it. But based on what we read in Proverbs, what question, now he said, give and it shall be given unto you, what question does a righteous man not ask if he were given this instruction in verse 38? The righteous giveth and spareth not. Yep, okay, that's a good question. I didn't think of that one actually, but that is a good one.
How much?
Absolutely. How much? You know, it's good. It just says give. You know, because my thought would be here, well, it says give and shall be given. It's, well, how much? You know, but the righteous man didn't ask that question because he giveth and spareth not. Because the righteous man is not holding on to something for himself. He just gives. He just sees, okay, give. I'll take care of it. Give. And that's the type of love the Bible talks about the husband having for his wife. Because you give, like Christ loved the church, he gave his life for the church, you know. Because you're not looking for something in return. I was at a store, a Christian bookstore the other day, and it says, I saw this plaque. It said, well, how would it go? True, the measure of true love is to love without measure. The measure of true love is to love without measure. That's here, give. And it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. So how much do you give for it to be given to you? Well, just give. Because the righteous, he giveth and spareth not. And the righteous is not slothful. The righteous is not overwhelmed with covetous. He's giving because he's got to do that which he was created to do, which is to give. And notice it in Luke 21. Luke 21. Verses 1-4 says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all of these have of their abundance cast into unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath." Good example. She gave all her living. She just gave. We should give all our living to God. That shows God that we believe on Him. We trust Him with our lives. And He has full control of us. And so God doesn't, of course, we know God doesn't want us to be slothful people. And but when I run across truths like this, I just kind of think about my own life. And I think about one of the things in my life that if I have a bad day or things aren't going very well, isn't generally because I didn't get some desire that I wanted. I mean, think about it. Because if you got every desire you wanted, what would be discouraging about your day? And many times, it's not a desire for someone else. When I'm discouraged, it can be a desire for myself. And then I started reviewing. I said, well, where's my giving? Is my life given? Is my heart given? Is my labor given? As I think back by being here 10 years, there's some desires that I wish could have been fulfilled in the ministry. Some of them have no control over it, just because people will make their own decisions. But some of them, things probably could be a little different if at certain times in the ministry I had not been slothful. That if I had to believe more on God, if I had to labored more for God. And so I look at some of those unfulfilled desires, and I thought, the great thing is I can repent, and God forgives me. But God says, now, the next 10, you don't live, don't labor in your ministry with unfulfilled desires. He said, don't be inactive, don't be sluggish, don't be lazy. He said, don't stand before me with this great opportunity for life and allow it to die. Because he said, I've given you an abundant life. And he said, that's what I came for. You understand? Do we catch the magnitude of that? That's actually what he came for? And the only thing that takes that life is when we become slothful. Then we have unfulfilled desires. You know, when people get older, they now all types of studies, you know what they say, the best thing for you to get older? Stay active. You know what, as the longer we're saved, you know what the best thing for a Christian is? Stay active. And then guess what? Those desires, because you know what, if I sit around the house all day long and I sit around and lazy, you know, if I just want to get up and go walk about 5 miles, I can't do it. Because I just won't have the strength to do it. My back, my knees, all kinds of things. But if I'm walking continually, then those desires come. And, hey, that's a great idea. I'll go do that. But God does not want us to get to the place. He doesn't want us to be the slothful person. So examine your desires tonight in light of God and see where you're at, you know. And let's all leave here with a desire to work for the Lord and to follow His commands, you know, not... I guess like I say often to remind, don't dream up something big to do for God. Just the commands, and because here the slothful, he refused to labor. And the slothful, that means he knew what his instruction was. The slothful had something he'd been given to do. The slothful had something he'd been told to do, but the slothful said, "I'm not going to do. I refuse. I refuse that." And because he refused, these desires developed, and they killed him. So let's not. Let's go and let's listen to the voice of God, and let's let God let's be fulfilled in Christ, and let's most importantly do the work of God. Believe on Christ, the one God sent, and we'll be amazed at how as we believe on Him, we actually have everything that we were looking for in the first place. And we'll find the only thing that really can sustain us and fill the voids of our life anyway. You know, so, but a little simple truth tonight. Hope it helps.